This is it. Larry Lichtenwalder. Act now if you want to claim $5 or $10 million. Time is precious, Larry Lichtenwalder. I may be handing you a $5 million or a $10 million prize. Please don't forfeit all claim to the big money by acting now. It's in your hands, Larry Lichtenwalder. You now have 9 personal prize claim numbers issued exclusively in your name. No one else has any of the Lichtenwalder numbers. No one. Be sure to return your entry order form in the enclosed reply envelope at once. Don't miss your chance at the first $10 million prize ever offered. And don't miss the extra million. The last chance extra $1 million prize in addition to the $10 million, Larry Lichtenwalder. Imagine, just 3 months from now, a fabulous cash fortune deposited in the Lichtenwalder bank account. What do you think passed through my mind when I read this over a year ago? Makes me laugh just to think about it again, and I couldn't help but to laugh yesterday when I was reading it and thinking about the time we were going to spend today. What I couldn't do with 10 million bucks. Talk about inflamed imagination. Talk about wild dreams being created in your minds. You know, I read this last year and I thought to myself, boy, we could pay for our house. I could take my family on that European trip that I've always wanted to take, and some money could go over to the school, Jay, and the bills at the church, and you know, my mind just started thinking about all the different things that I could do if I had this money. But I laid it aside because I knew that things like this really didn't happen to me. Oh, I knew that this would be true for someone, but it wouldn't happen to me, not Larry Lichtenwalder. And I can imagine the thoughts that were racing through Joshua's mind as he began listening to the voice that broke through the silence of his meditation. The words that he was hearing were kind of familiar words. They excited some wild, imaginative dreams. They were things that he had heard about earlier in his life, yes, and things that he had longed for. But now he was hearing some things, and his mind began to run with the implications about what the voice was saying to him in his ear. He was hearing that he and the children of Israel were to cross the swelling Jordan River and to now take possession of the land of Canaan. And God was saying that good success would attend every step of the way. God was saying that they would be successful, that nothing would stand in their way. And God was saying, and this created the wildest imagination possible in Joshua's mind, God was saying that every place on which the sole of their feet would tread, that God had already given it to them. What a turnaround for the children of Israel. No longer would there be that aimless drifting in the desert. But now there would be moving across the river into the land, the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. No longer would there be the burning sun and the shifting sands and the burning rocks. But now there would be fields of grain and luscious groves of fruit. No longer would there be cattle dung for fuel, but big forests that could be cut down and used for real firewood. No longer the flimsy tents that blew in the dusty breeze. Now there would be substantial buildings, cities, with all the accommodations that one could ever think of for the families. God was telling Joshua and the children of Israel that now was the time to rise up and go forth under the guidance of God. Joshua was hearing that now was the time to claim new territory in the name of God. Now was the time to rise to higher ground. Now was the time to taste the luscious fruit of victory. it was theirs to claim. What a dream. What a promise. What an opportunity. And it was not some message of chance that had come through the mail, but rather it was the Word of God speaking, God Himself speaking, God Himself saying that this land was theirs now to take, to own, to possess. And as we read this passage of Scripture this morning, we must see in this passage more than just the story of a Hebrew leader who was encouraged to lead his people across the swelling Jordan River to the land of promise. But this is a personal story. It's a story of God's call, God's promise, God's invitation for us to step out into new territories of Christian living. It's God's invitation to us to live that life of faith in the promise and to become all that God has ever desired us to be in the setting of our own Christian experience, in the setting of our corporate work and relationship as a church. God's aspirations for us are enormous, beyond our wildest dreams. God delights in thinking about what He can do for us and through us and in us if we only ever give Him a chance. And He purposely calls us to grasp that He is calling us to something better, something higher, something more complete than we've ever experienced in our Christian life. That we are to move forward and do things greater and bigger as a church than we've ever dreamed. And God purposely excites our imagination. He's the one who gives the words on every place on which the sole of your foot will tread, I will give it to you. Do you believe that this morning? God purposely excites our imagination with those words to get our minds stirring, to get our minds thinking about what we can become, where we could be, what those dreams of God are in our behalf. And God would have us understand the focus of these promises too. He would not have us interpret these things in purely human and worldly terms. That God is promising everything that we want, everything that we desire, everything that we plan. No, the message to Joshua in verse 2 it has to do with the land that he was giving to the children of Israel. And he said in the setting of the promises, in the setting of the land that he was going to give to the children of Israel, they could claim it. Every place they stepped their foot on, it would be theirs. And so the promises that God holds out to us today are in the setting of His dream for us in our Christian growth, in Christian service. The territory that Jesus Christ invites for us to claim has to do with partaking of the character of Christ, being molded into the image of the character of God. It has to do with merging together in unity and Christian love and fellowship. It has to do with sharing the message of Jesus Christ to the community of Berrien Springs. It has to do with caring ministry within the body for one another. It has to do with rising above all the financial concerns that we'd ever dream about. It has to do with family relationships and the quality of our homes. The interaction that takes place between fellow Christians within the family of God. And Jesus is telling us this morning, through this story of Joshua, the whole book of Joshua, Jesus is telling us that the territory of Christian living, the life of faith, is a complete full life. Jesus has promised it to us. And as our minds and our imagination are stirred with what He has called us to be, we can be sure that it's ours. Every bit of it. This last Christmas, I had an opportunity to live an experience that I had heard about. My dad showed up with his VCR and all his equipment, and we looked at some scenes that he had taken last summer. especially in mind was the occasion that I had heard about the 4th of July celebration we had at the Moors, along with many other individuals this last summer. It was a hot day. Kids were in the pool, and the little kids were in a little pool, a little wading pool. And there was a 2 to 3 foot high sliding board that they would crawl up and slide down into the water. And while parents and friends were standing around talking and having a good old time eating and things like that, here these kids were just over and over going up this sliding board and down it and into the water and splashing. Well, what I had heard about but now was able to see was the story of Aaron. Aaron seeing the kids running to the sliding board and crawling up it and sliding down it and having a good time. So Aaron made his way over. Aaron climbed up the ladder, stood up nice and tall on top of the sliding board and looked down, all of 2.5 feet, down into the water. And he looked. And then he turned and crawled down the steps and walked out into the grass and began playing by himself. But his eyes kept seeing the other young children coming around, walking up the steps, sitting down, sliding down. So Aaron turns around, comes back to the step, crawls up, stands there again, this time sits down. And then he gets up and turns around and goes back down the steps. 5 times. 5 times. It's on video. It's precious. Something was going on in that boy's mind about fear and uncertainty. And he never did go down the sliding board. And the truth of the matter is that we back away from the promises of God. The truth of the matter is that we live lives of fear. And we are cornered by the fear that hides behind every imaginable corner. The fear that would poison the peace in our heart and our outward poise. The fear that blurs our understanding of the vision and muddles the distinct call of Jesus Christ for us to live the complete Christian life. And Joshua's knees were undoubtedly moving back and forth with a degree of anxiousness. Because God, we find in this passage, God 3 times telling Joshua to be strong and of good courage. 3 times. And Joshua had a lot to be anxious about. Joshua had a lot to be concerned about. Well, there was that motley, independent, murmuring, rebellious group that had a history of aimlessly wandering in defeat. And he had to take them across the river. It's enough to confuse and bring fear to any leader. And then there was the swollen Jordan. It was a springtime. How can you cross the river at this time of the year? And then there was a fierce warlike group of the Canaanites on the other side in their big, tall, walled cities. And then there was his own inexperience. There was his own inability. And God had to tell Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. You will have success wherever you go. You will have success. And you and I find ourselves struggling with our fears and our concerns as well. We are fearful of our abilities. We are shaken by our circumstances. We find ourselves frozen by our track record and paralyzed by what we might think people think about decisions or some growth that could take place in our lives. And our view of what is realistic is kind of defeating. So to Joshua and to every trembling heart, to every child of God who trembles with a thought of God's dreams being too unrealistic that they could ever be realized, God says in verse 5, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. It was this fall, just a couple months after this occasion that I share with you about Aaron. that our family bundled up on a brisk Sunday afternoon and had a little drive in the countryside, and we came by a park, and we opened the door, and the boys ran out, and the first thing, they made their way towards the playground equipment, and little Aaron made his way to the sliding board. But this sliding board was not 2.5 feet high and emptying into a nice, cool, refreshing wading pool. Rather, it was every bit of 10 to 12 feet high and emptying into a pile of dirt and sand at the bottom. And Aaron made his way. I can still see him wearing his coat with his hood over top. And he made his way, and he crawled all the way up to the top, and he sat himself firmly down at the top of that sliding board. And he looked. And before Daddy could ever get to the sliding board, he'd turned around and come back down the step and gone off to play in something else that he in his mind was imagining. And then he made his way back to the sliding board and was crawling up the sliding board, and Daddy pressed near, and Daddy began encouraging. And when he planted himself down and put his hands on the railings and looked down that long shot to who knows where, he could see Daddy's face, Daddy's eyes looking up, and he could hear Daddy's voice. Daddy was coaxing. And as he struggled with the fear and the uncertainty, he was also struggling with the presence of his dad. And that presence made all the difference of a little boy holding on and letting go. And the promise to our hearts today is that Jesus will be with us. He will not forsake us. He will not let us fail. Jesus promises us in this passage of Scripture, He promises us the strength to realize the dreams that He's placed in our minds. When He tells us that He will be with us, He is telling us that He is committed to be by our side. That those dreams that are stirring in our minds about growing as a Christian, about growing as a church, those dreams are not ours, they are His. And He is present to beckon us, to invite us to find fulfillment. And when He says, as it says in verse 9, "Have I not commanded you?" Jesus is telling us today that He assumes the responsibility of the success. Martha lived in a little town that was surrounded by trees and fields. And one particular field was a favorite for her. Every night after supper, Martha would take her little dog, Skippy, and out to the field that they would go, and they would romp and play. It was a time of joy and happiness, but it was also a time of struggle, because as the evening drew to an end and it was time to go home, Martha would find herself chasing her little dog around the field, trying to get the leash on him. There were other individuals that had found the same field, other dog owners, and it was not uncommon to see a dozen or so owners with their dogs out there, the dogs romping and playing and having fun, and owners standing around talking or just being by themselves. And whenever the evening came to an end, it was a humorous sight to see all these owners running for their dogs, running in circles, trying to grab a hold of them. Some of you know what that's like, don't you? But there was one owner who stood out above the rest, one relationship between a dog and an owner that seemed to be different. Because whenever he called, and he never called his dog by his name, he only said the words, "Come." But when those words, "Come," were heard, the dog's head would suddenly lift up among the heads of the other dogs, and he would look for his master, and he would immediately come in obedience, and there would be a few minutes of interaction and joy as the leash was clicked to the collar. It was discouraging to the rest, to say the least. And as Martha thought about that, she began wondering about the private training that took place behind the scenes. The private interaction between a dog and its master. The private discussions, the private sharing that ultimately led to a spontaneous response of obedience. Kind of obedience that would come, would find response to the simple word come, amid all the other sounds of calls to other dogs. The book of Joshua, our passage this morning, is talking to us about our need to hear the voice of God. In verse 8, it talks about the book of the law not departing from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. It's talking about the Word of God becoming the supreme center of Joshua's life, of our life, not in some legalistic way in which we recite words over and over and in a lifeless way and in an abstract way, but it has to do with relationship. The kind of meditation that God was telling Joshua about was the kind of meditation that allowed Joshua and the people of God to hear the voice of God above all the other voices, including the voice of fear in their hearts. Whatever leads us to believe the dreams of God, whatever leads us to actually trust the dreams of God and trust ourselves to Him and step out into the life of obedience and triumph that He has promised, comes because we have learned to hear the voice of God. God speaks to us in Scripture. And we can say that God has spoken, but we must understand that God speaks still today. And in the private interaction of our own heart with the heart of God, as we come to hear Him speak to us in Scripture, we come to understand some things about Him. God speaks to us about Himself. And God speaks to us about truth. And God speaks to us about His dreams. And God speaks to us about ourselves. And in that setting of meditation where we think and we dream and we imagine what He's saying and we pray about it and we memorize it and we throw it around and around and around in our minds, we come to the place where God's voice becomes recognizable. God's voice becomes discernible above the din of all the noises around us. And relationship is built. Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing. Our ability to believe the dreams of God in our behalf, our ability to step forth with faith, comes from the process of hearing and listening. Being in contact on a regular basis with God, hearing His voice, and relationship is vital. Relationship is vital. It is the voice of a master that was recognized by the dog. And may I say that it was the voice of a father that Aaron has grown to love and trust and depend on, that led him to leave go of railings on a sliding board and fulfill the dream that was in his mind. A king was trying to decide how he would honor a servant that had been a faithful, loyal servant. How to honor somebody that he had come to love. And he thought and he pondered and he wondered and he questioned, and finally he decided and he called his trusted servant in, and he simply handed his servant a piece of paper, and his servant looked at that piece of paper. It was a check, but it was an empty check. And it simply had the king's signature on the bottom. And he says, "Well, Master, you have not indicated the amount of this check." And the king said, "That's all right. You go and you do with that check what you want to do, what you think you should do." The first thing he did was go to see the treasurer. And he asked the treasurer how much was in the bank account. And when he found out how much was in the bank account, he sat down and wrote the check for the full amount. And the treasurer was shaken. He quickly ran to the king and said, "Do you realize what your trusted servant is doing?" And a bit surprised at first, the king thought, and then a grin came across his mouth, and he says, "It is well. It is well that my servant knows me. It is well that my servant so trusts me and so honors me." Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ holds before us, as it were, an empty check for us to fill out in the following of His dreams for us as individual Christians. He is calling us to new levels of commitment, new levels of service, new levels of mission. And for some of us who have heard the message of this truth, this remnant church taught through the years, for some of us it means rising and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For some of us it means changing those juicy tidbits of gossip into powerful words of prayers of intercession. For some of us, it means the defeat, the grip of habits, the mind and emotion molding substances. It means transforming and changing that into the kind of free lifestyle with the power of the Holy Spirit. It means fathers claiming the right of priesthood in the home and leading the family in family worship. It means hearts that have been divided and where bitterness and anger is present. It means hearts coming together in forgiveness and love and togetherness and reconciliation. It means a consistent living of the life of Jesus Christ in this community. It means bringing our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings in an abundant, extravagant way to the kingdom of God and His church, knowing that He will care for our lives. It means understanding the truth and the special mission of Christian education and doing all in our hearts to make sure our young people are being filled with the truths of God for today. And whatever that territory might be, whether it's handling lust in our minds or whether it's dealing as a husband to a wife, whatever it is that God is speaking, God says, "Every place on which you set the sole of your foot, I will give it." So God inspires our minds today to see the extravagant, unimaginable opportunities that He's calling us for. And then to step on it, because it's yours.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.